Starting in Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 24. Repeating what we just saw in that powerful video. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Amen. As we continue our series this morning on walking the roads with Jesus, I would like to focus today on Jesus the teacher. Jesus the teacher. Other names and other words are at the tip of our tongue to describe him. Savior, Master, Lord, Redeemer, and King. But here's an interesting fact. Of the 90 times that Jesus was addressed directly in the Gospels, 60 times he was named as teacher. This was the word that the multitudes used. It was how the disciples referred to him. Jesus himself used a term when he said, "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that's what I am." When Nicodemus, one of the Pharisees, came to Jesus by night, he even said, "We know that you are a teacher who has come from God." Writers and speakers and theologians down through the ages have agreed. The Scottish theologian James Stewart said, "The teaching of Jesus has had a power and an effect with which the influence of no other teacher can even for a moment be compared." Author K.A. Smith writes, "Jesus is a teacher who doesn't just inform our intellect, but forms our very loves. He isn't content to simply deposit new ideas into your mind. He is after nothing less than your wants, your loves, your longings, your life." When Jesus had finished giving the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew tells us that the crowds were so amazed at his teaching because he taught as one having authority, not as the normal teachers of the law that they were used to listening to. The rabbis pretty much quoted each other, but Jesus spoke the true and authoritative words of God. He never entered a classroom, as we know a classroom. He never had a degree, as we understand an educational degree. Yet the world was his classroom. The roads were his classroom. No degreed teacher with a pile of things hanging on the wall ever did anything greater than what Jesus Christ did. He was truly and absolutely the master teacher, the greatest teacher of all time. But what were the characteristics of Jesus as a teacher? When Jesus began his earthly ministry, he introduced to the world a mission that focused on three basic principles. Christ came into the world not only to be Savior, but he came to be a servant. He came to be a leader. He came to be a teacher. The New Testament is very clear about the teaching characteristics of Jesus. Let's look at some of these characteristics of Jesus as a teacher as they are recorded in the Gospels. Number one, Jesus was a teacher who taught with power. He taught with power. Jesus began his ministry by engaging people in the synagogue as a public teacher. This was an activity that was open to any layman who was competent to teach. But when this layman stepped up, something different happened. Matthew 4:23, it says, Jesus went throughout Galilee teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. The public teaching of Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew was surrounded by his healing ministry. I said the public teaching of Jesus in the book of Matthew was surrounded, permeated by his teaching ministry. During his teaching ministry, Jesus also healed the multitudes of every kind of problem. His teaching and healing ministry also addressed the spiritual world of demons. Only his power could drive them out. In all of his teaching and healing exercises, the main foundational truth that Jesus was promoting was a simple one. Listen to this text in Matthew 4, beginning in 23. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. Say, proclaiming the good news. Come on, stay with me. And healing every disease and sickness among the people. The news about him spread all over Syria, and people brought him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, he healed them. Last week, we talked about Jesus as the healer. I say to you today that Jesus the healer and Jesus the teacher are inseparable. Jesus the healer and Jesus the teacher cannot be separated. Remember that wonderful passage that we studied last week when the lame man was let down through the roof? Jesus used that occasion to teach and to prove, and I quote, that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sin. You see, as he healed, he was teaching. When he taught, he was healing. And when he healed, he was teaching. The power was manifest as he taught. Secondly, Jesus was a teacher whose teaching was unique. The teaching style of Jesus, the very words, held the attention of those he was speaking to. Matthew wrote in 7 and 28, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. When's the last time you heard a public speaker that the whole crowd went, that was amazing? Now, maybe a good comedian, that was amazing. But when's the last time you heard a teacher? The teaching style of Jesus drew the attention of these massive crowds. And his style, as we said, showed he had authority. Mark 1:27 said, the people were so amazed that they asked each other, what is this? A new teaching with new authority. He even gives orders to impure spirits, and those obey him. The common people were astonished and amazed. He was not a scribe. He had no religious credentials, yet he spoke like a king. His words were like a new Mount Sinai. The scribes quoted others, the prophets of old, the other teachers, but he spoke with authority. I said, the scribes and the Pharisees quoted other teachers, but Jesus spoke with authority. He spoke a new and living word. No rabbi was ever paid attention to unless he could prove that his word was based on past wisdom. But the words of Jesus were like a spring, clear, fresh, with power to quench the soul's thirst. There was lots of creativity in Jesus' teaching. You'll recall that he taught in parables on frequent occasions. Then afterwards, he would pull the disciples aside and explain what the parable meant. If you've ever sat under a great creative teacher, they have a way of bringing information to life. The words of Jesus were not just information. They were filled with life, transforming power kind of life. His teaching was like nothing ever heard before. Number three, Jesus was a teacher who taught various people in various places. The ministry of Jesus was one that covered a variety of territories in the world of that day. Those areas, Galilee, Judea, Samaria, Perea, and the 10 cities of Decapolis. His ministry was forced to move away from his hometown and into other areas due to a lack of faith and trust and belief in him. Do you remember that? Matthew tells us about this event in his gospel in Matthew 15. But Mark tells it in an even stronger fashion. Jesus left there and went to his hometown accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things? They asked. What's this wisdom that has been given to him? What are these remarkable miracles he is performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Aren't his sisters even around and here with us? And it says they took offense at him. Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own home. And he could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And then this is a stunning statement. He was amazed at their lack of faith. So he hit the road. He left his hometown. He made his way through the region. That says to me that his teaching was not confined only to his home playing field. His teaching was for all. It was for all. No one was left out. His teaching, his influence, his salvation is still available to all. It is not confined to a small group of people around the area where Jesus lived and where he taught. The gospel and the salvation of the gospel is available to all the world. No one left out. You and I can be thankful of that. Number four. I love this one. Jesus was a teacher who taught with compassion. He was a teacher who taught with compassion. You see, legalism and living by the letter of the Jewish law were powerfully present during that day and age. Compassion took second place. I said compassion took second place. However, this was not the strategy of Jesus. He flipped it around. His ministry and his teaching were focused on compassion. Mark 3, beginning in 1. Again, keeping in mind that the Jewish law was so prevalent in their lives during that day. One day Jesus went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. And in the wings were some of them looking for a reason. Huh? The religious folk, the leaders, the scribes, the Pharisees, they were being all pious. They were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. So they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath? To do good or do evil? To save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked around them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. He said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. The focus of Jesus was compassion. Compassion won over legalism. Compassion won over legalism. I think I said last week or the week before, we're not lawyers, we're lovers. We're not to be lawyers, we're to be lovers. Remember when Jesus was asked, "What is the most important command?" Matthew 22:34. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. He shut up the Sadducees, so the Pharisees thought they'd give it a shot. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Listen to the question. "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Which is the greatest commandment in the law? Remember his reply? Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." Friends, love above law. Compassion above rules. Jesus taught the ultimate message, love. I love this passage in Mark 6, verse 34. When Jesus landed, saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Now, by this time, in the life and the ministry of Jesus, I think he has to have gotten a little tired of crowds. You know how crowds kind of get to you after a while? Huh? Some of you love a crowd. Some of you just can't stand. He saw that these folks were like sheep without a shepherd, and he felt compassion toward them. And so what did he do? He began teaching them many things. Jesus saw them. He had compassion. And his MO of compassion was teaching them the life-giving word of God. There's no compassion. There's nothing you can do that is more compassionate than share the word of God with people. That's why I love the ministry of our friends, the Gideons. Huh? Jesus did not separate his compassion from his ministry or his teachings. As he taught, he showed compassion. Number five, and I think this needed to be mentioned, Jesus was a teacher who taught his disciples to pray. Taught his disciples to pray. and he modeled it for them. And I haven't talked about that yet, but Jesus not only taught the principles, but he lived them. He modeled them. One day, Luke 11, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." Hold it. Hold it. Just a second. I don't recall having read about John the Baptizer being a great teacher. But apparently, along with baptizing, John taught his followers to what? To pray. In the Gospels of Luke and Matthew, Jesus teaches his disciples how they should pray. We studied his teaching, his pattern for prayer from Matthew chapter 6, didn't we? Our Father who is in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Wasn't it wonderful to learn that that is not just a recited prayer, but that is a pattern for us to pray? I believe Jesus taught his disciples that pattern. He taught them how to pray. There is a phrase that is repeated several times in the Gospels and emphasized in the book of Revelation, which I thought would be appropriate for us to pay attention to this morning as we close. Here's the phrase: whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. I ask you this: what is the most important thing we can learn from the teachings of Jesus? I believe that one of the very most important things we can learn from the teaching of Jesus is who he truly is. Who he truly is. Many people have said through the centuries that they see Jesus as a great teacher. But believing in him as God, the Messiah of Israel, as the risen Savior, they're not so sure. Friends, that is indeed what our takeaway must be on the life and teaching of Jesus, that he is the promised one of Israel. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior of the world. Other religions even acknowledge him. Mahatma Gandhi is quoted as saying, "Jesus to me is a great world teacher among others." Among others? In Islam, Jesus is thought of as one of God's highest ranked and most beloved prophets. Islam doesn't consider Jesus to be the incarnation of the Son of God. The Baha'i faith considers Jesus to be one of many manifestations of God, who are a series of personages who reflect the attributes of the divine into the human world. Baha'i rejects the idea that divinity was contained in one man, the Son of God. Rejected. Apart from his own disciples and followers, sadly, the Jews of Jesus' day generally rejected him as Messiah, as do the great majority of Jews today. Mainstream Jewish scholars argue that Jesus neither fulfilled the messianic prophecies in Torah nor embodied the personal qualifications of Messiah. Remember the exchange between Jesus and Peter? "Who do you say I am?" was the question. Who do you say I am? Matthew 16. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Well, some say John the Baptist, Others say Elijah. Still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you? And I look you in the eye today and I say to you, what about you? What about you? He asked Peter, he said, who do you say that I am? These are guys, he's talking to his disciples. These are guys that walked the roads with him and heard every word of his teaching. And he looks at them and he says, who do you say that I am? Now, this is a tiny rabbit trail. But I want to say to you that hanging out with God's people doesn't save you. The disciples hung around with Jesus, and yet he still asked them for a personal, individual response. Who do you say I am? Response time. It's time for an answer. We're getting down to the nitty gritty here. We're headed to Jerusalem. It's all going to happen. It's time for a response. It's time for an answer. Simon Peter says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Bing! Correct. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. You ever hear someone and not hear them? You ever talk to someone and they didn't hear you, but they were looking right at you? I'm sorry. Guilty sometimes. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let him read, and we are blessed. Folks, we have the words. They're there. We have four eyewitnesses that wrote the Gospels, and there is the teaching of Jesus. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And I say to you, not just hear with physical ears, not just hear with intellectual ears, but hear with ears of the Spirit. What does Jesus want to say to you today? He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Father, thank you for your word, for the beautiful and wonderful teaching of the Lord Jesus that we have through the Gospels. You are the greatest teacher, Jesus, that ever lived. And if we have ears, we need to hear. We respond, you are indeed the Messiah, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen.